myself to this to this desk. It's all good. Anyway, so now I am joined on the phone by David Moore from Astronomy Island. Hey, David, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Fantastic, fantastic. That's what I like to hear. So, Astronomy Island, you've got so much stuff coming up in the next while. Shall we start off by talking about this StarBQ event that you've got happening in the Wicklow Mountains? What's this all about? What's happening?
Yes, this has been running over 30 years now.
Oh, goodness.
And the idea is it's Ireland's annual telescope festival where we get to show people the wonders of the universe. But also, there are talks, there are exhibits, trade stands, a professionally catered barbecue at one of the highest villages in Ireland. It all takes place in the middle of the Wicklow Mountains.
Wow.
Where the skies are extremely dark. And we assemble some of the biggest telescopes in Ireland. So even most of the members of Astronomy Ireland don't own telescopes like this. Mm. But we're inviting everybody in the general public all across the island. Some people even come in from abroad to come and look at the wonders of the universe, like galaxies, star clusters, dying stars. The special targets this year will be Jupiter with its great red spot and moons, and Saturn with those incredible rings, and even those over a billion kilometers away, we'll be able to see its own moons, at least four of them, and maybe a couple more if we're really lucky. And we reckon practically nobody in the world has ever seen the moons of Saturn live. Mm. You'll certainly be better than one in a million if you come along. It's a big fundraiser for the society. People bring their telescopes to show the general public things that will blow their mind. And you can buy tickets for it online now. If you buy them before tomorrow, you actually get a special. So we want to see everybody there. We have up to 1,000 people coming along.
Oh, wow.
And the idea is just to make their jaws drop.
That's what you want, isn't it? I mean, you know, how often, as you say, how often would you get to see something so spectacular? You know, it's not an everyday event, is it, really?
No, and we're sort of lucky. Ireland has one of the lowest population densities of any European country.
Mm.
So we can get to dark skies fairly easily. If we lived in London, for instance, we couldn't do this.
Yeah.
You'd have to travel almost to some of the mountains, say, in Wales, hundreds of miles away. And even then, they're a very populous country. And we're sitting on the edge of Europe where, you know, we're not surrounded by other countries. Also, we're not overly developed. The towns, yeah, and the streetlights, and we can see a bit of a glow in the north from Dublin, even deep in the middle of the Wicklow Mountains, but the rest of the sky is gloriously dark. And on the website, you'll see there's a picture showing the Milky Way going down to the horizon.
Mm.
You can't even see the Milky Way in the middle of the Phoenix Park anymore, but there it is in all its glory, just with the naked eye, before you start turning a telescope on.
Yeah, so, I mean, does weather ever factor into these kind of events?
Yeah, it does a bit. The forecast looks good, I'm glad to say. Even when you get breaks in the clouds, Jupiter and Saturn will be dead easy to see. And if it is cloudy for any reason, being in Ireland, we have to figure out a way to beat the clouds. And we did. So what we do is we run the entire event, regardless of weather.
Right.
And the barbecue, the stands, the talks, and everything else, and have the telescopes ready on standby. And if it is cloudy on the night, which hopefully it won't be, we'll set up the telescopes again the following Friday, if that's clear, or Saturday, if that's clear, and the first Friday or Saturday going forward, to guarantee people to look through the telescope. So, you know, keep the following Friday and Saturday free, just in case. But about half the time or more, we get away with enough viewing on the night. Sometimes we just run the second telescope night for the fun of it as well. Because, you know, looking through these telescopes, if you own them, is why you spent thousands of euros on the telescope.
So do you have to have any kind of knowledge? I mean, is this for a total novices who know nothing about astronomy at all? People can just kind of rock up and, you know, experience things firsthand.
It's like saying you have to have a degree in art or knowledge of painters to go and see the Mona Lisa. It's something you want to see once in your life. You need to be an architect to appreciate the Eiffel Tower. Going back to Paris, or other buildings like that. You need to be an expert in ancient peoples to go to Newgrange and see the oldest astronomically aligned building in the world. No, the idea is we do all the heavy lifting. All people have to do is be able to eat barbecue food, and look into a telescope. And the owners of the telescope will be there to help you make sure you're seeing what you're supposed to see. In the dark, it can be a little bit tricky, so we guarantee people look. So bring all the family and friends, even the ones that have no interest in astronomy. Mm-hmm. When they see Saturn through a telescope with those rings, well, we can't really say on radio what people say, but say, some people have stepped back and said, that dot up there in the sky is this planet with the rings. Have you got a projector inside this telescope to fool us? No, it's live views of Saturn, Jupiter, galaxy, star clusters, the lot.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, you know, I'm sure you're going to get loads of kids coming along, and it could start off this love of astronomy. Do you know what I mean? Get them while they're young. Get them interested.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
Yep, that's what got me started. A friend of mine had a telescope, and I just wanted to look through it.
Mm.
Eventually got my own, made a whole career out of it, ended up getting a degree in science, worked in IT and computers for a while, and a lot of people who get interested in astronomy end up going into other technical areas,
yeah,
where there are very good jobs. And, you know, Ireland's economy is powered by technology companies we have in the country. So inspiring the next generation is something we take very seriously, because astronomy is great fun, but it can lead on to careers in any technical discipline. So, you know, bring all your kids along, get them interested, and, you know, anyone who wants to potter around, looks through a telescope as a different object, will have a really unique experience once in their life. I'd say it's something you have to do at least once in your life, but a lot of people come back every year.
Yeah, so we're talking about beginners there. You've also got evening classes happening for novices, I'm assuming, people that just want to have an interest but want to find out a bit more.
Yeah, the new season is beginning.
Yeah.
There are three big talks at Starbuck. I'm giving one, the universe.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one about taking pictures of the night sky. And the third one's being given by a YouTube astronomer. He has over 50,000 followers. He's Irish. John Campbell is his name. And he actually takes pictures from drones at night of the night sky. Brand new area. He's going to show the kind of pictures he's been getting.
Mm.
Might be where bees in the clouds if you can get up above them. But he also is giving the evening classes for beginners. They'll start on October the 4th. He's one of our new tutors. We've had various different tutors down through the years.
Yeah.
He's already done it for us a couple of times. We have rave reviews. So anyone who knows very little about astronomy but wants to know more can sign up for our evening classes. No knowledge of maths. It's not a technical subject. You're not going to get a degree in astronomy. You're just going to have eight Tuesday nights when you'll learn for 2 hours about everything. The sun, the moon, the planet, space exploration, black holes, the Big Bang, where does it all come from, and a bit about telescopes and how to find your way around the sky. The full list of all the topics covered, again, on astronomy.ie, our website, and that is aimed at beginners. So if you know next nothing about astronomy, but you want to know more, then this is a crash course for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no better organisation to learn from, David. I mean, you know, renowned for
astronomy
your knowledge.
Astronomy is the world's most popular astronomy society.
Mm.
And the reason why we're so big is, you know, we're almost not interested in people who are interested in astronomy. They're going to join Astronomy Ireland to get our magazine every month, our weekly members email every week. But it's people who have no interest. They're missing out. We want them to know about what's out there in space, what's being discovered, what we're learning every month goes into the magazine. Fantastic pictures as well. Very visual subject. And so anyone should join Astronomy Ireland. I don't know why all 7 million people aren't card-carrying members of Astronomy Ireland. You're missing out on so much.
Would it make your life a bit more difficult, though, David, if you had 7 million members?
I would be delighted. With 7 million people, I mean, it costs about, most of the work is done by volunteers.
Yeah.
And it costs about €1 a week. Now, who can't afford even a euro a week? For not just a hobby, but also for one that can inspire so many things. I mean, it gives you an idea of your place in the universe.
There's
so many fascinating things to see. I don't know if you saw the moon last night. But we had the planet Jupiter sitting just near it. The night before, they were actually closest. Last week, we had the super blue moon. And next week, we've got Venus going near the moon. There's a bit of a comet coming around that could be visible to the naked eye, if you like, getting up at dawn.
Yeah.
And then there's an eclipse of the moon next October. Huge shooting star shower, meteor shower in December. And, you know, every week, there's several things that you can see, even with the naked eye. But at best, a pair of binoculars. You don't need a telescope to get started.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of take the sky for granted, don't we? We don't. We kind of look up and it's there, you know. But it'd be great to know a lot more about what we're looking at, you know.
Yeah, with our weather, which, you know, from an astronomer's point of view, we can characterize the weather with two words, mostly cloudy. How come, with conditions like that, Ireland has the world's most popular astronomy society?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's like the way we all go a bit crazy when the sun comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen it in so long. It's almost time for a party. Same when you look up, usually when the stars up there, we do a double take, and you wonder, what can I see? And you know, in astronomy, we do it the other way around. We tell people the night you want to be clear is, for instance, the end of October, the night that eclipse is on, and so people are ready for it. They don't have to wait to pick it up in the news accidentally. There's a highlights box on page 22 of our magazine every month. I tell people the moment the magazine falls through your letterbox, open page 22. Even if you're rushing out to work, scan the hot box. There'll be about a dozen events there, and you'll know if there's something big. Oh, I must see Jupiter near the moon.
Yeah.
The eclipse, the meteor shower, whatever it might be that month. And then you're set up, and you know, our weekly email will remind you again, and hopefully you'll get to see some of these sites. Even if we miss this eclipse, thanks to weather, there'll be another one next year.
Yeah. This is going to sound like a really naive question, but I've just thought about it. You know, like you see in films, and well, not even films, in America, the moon is always really large and very low. Is there a reason for that? I know it sounds like a really, really, really stupid question, but is there a reason that the moon seems bigger? Or is it just, maybe it's just me, like...
You're talking about the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, the view of the moon. Yeah, there is actually a very special thing that happens when the moon is rising. It's best seen when the moon is full, like we had last week, that super blue moon, the super moon, which happens every year, and a blue moon that happens every 3 years, and the two combined only happen every fourth. And what happens when the moon is rising is it can often look several times closer or bigger than
it
really is.
Right.
For a telescope, same size. It's one of those optical illusions.
Right.
No one's really sure why it happens, but whenever there's a full moon rising, and there's one more super moon this year, it's actually that eclipse of the moon, the end of sorry, that's not the eclipse of the moon, it was at the end of September, and the one at the end of October, the full then won't a super moon. But we always get people out watching because they really are a bit bigger and brighter than normal. And if you get this moon illusion, that'll add to the effect, and you'll see the biggest moon you're ever likely to perceive in your life. Why the moon looks large, you know, two or three times bigger than it really is. Swear blind. We think the reason might be going back to our ancient past, when we were on the savannas of Africa, and humans that saw predators, or thought they were closer than they really are, ran away first and went on to breed the next generation. So it's natural selection, we think, might have meant that we've got this tendency to make things on the horizon seem bigger than they really are. No one's sure that's the reason, but that's sort of one of the best theories as to why it works. So always watch the moon rising, especially when it's full. Good fun anyway.
Yeah, no, it's something I've always wondered about, but never, it's one of them things you never ask the question. You just kind of, you know, just wonder about it and... You know, always better to ask an expert like yourself.
But sometimes the moon really is a little bit bigger than it normally appears, but the moon illusion is an even bigger factor. I have to confess, I watched the moon rising, and I didn't get the moon illusion. Other times I've been driving along, not been paying attention. Oh, there's the moon at the end of the road. Oh, my goodness. Huge. How did it get that close?
Yeah.
So it seems to appear just randomly.
It's weird, isn't it? But anyway, talking about the moon, obviously we have to talk about India. The amazing sights that we saw just a few weeks ago of the India Moon Rover landing. I mean, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, this will be the cover story on the next issue of our magazine, because India's become the first nation to land on the South Pole of the Moon, which is where all the future exploration is headed. Good reasons, like I mentioned in a minute. And up until then, only Russia, China, and the Americans have been able to land even unmanned craft on the moon. So India's joined this very elite club, and they did try 4 years ago and failed a few days before them. Russia tried to land for the first time in 47 years, and they failed. a Japanese company tried to land on the moon earlier this year. They failed. So it's no mean feat to land on the moon. I mean, it's a big ordeal to build a craft that can get there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of times they seem to fail at the last hurdle.
Yeah.
Terrible shame. But it shows the technology required, and that, you know, India kept going, they persevered, and they did it.
Mm.
And they set a world record, or an out-of-this-world record, I suppose. And now they've been measuring the soil, finding elements in the rocks, measuring the temperatures, because anything you find out about the South Pole is going to be useful when we send people there.
Mm.
That's what NASA's up to. They're trying to land people with the Artemis mission, a giant rocket that can carry people, not just a little lander. The India space moon landing cost about $75 million.
Oh my goodness.
That's peanuts in space.
Yeah, I suppose so.
NASA one will cost billions.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
And in the next couple of years, what we're going to see next is we had Artemis 1 unmanned craft that could have taken people, but flew around the moon, proved it worked, and splash landed safely. Now they're going to put people on the next one, probably end of next year, I think.
Wow.
And that'll prove then that it can support life going out around the moon and coming back. And the third mission, Artemis 3, on the moon, near the South Pole, we think. And there's good reason for that. There's water in deep craters, and some of the peaks on the crater wall are actually in permanent sunlight.
Oh,
the electrical power from solar cells, 24 hours a day.
So we might all be living on the moon in about 10 years' time, you think?
Well, we certainly do expect to have bases on the moon.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks
Elon
that way.
Musk, yep, the world's two richest men, they both own space companies. You have to ask yourself why. And they've said publicly, together, on stage, at a big conference, that they are going to land 1 million people on Mars, not just the moon.
Oh my God.
Mars is much harder to get to than the moon, by the end of this century. Now, if the world's richest people with space companies say something like that in public, you know they figured it all out.
But it's, there was a space flight, wasn't there, quite recently. There was a few lucky people went up on in a spacecraft.
Yeah.
Have a little...
and this could lead to the first Irish person in space. Richard Branson, another one of the world's billionaires, has a space company too, Virgin Galactic. And he's got a mission that will just take people up with a sort of a space plane that drops a rocket that then powers up to the edge of space and comes back. You only get a few minutes weightlessness. But he's charging $250,000.
Wow.
Several hundred people have paid the price, including five Irish people, and most of them I've met. And now they've started clearing the backlog of those customers. We're expecting an announcement when the first Irish people get places on the next Virgin Galactic flight and become astronauts. That's going to be another front cover story for Astronomy Ireland magazine. And we wish them all luck. There's another Irish woman going up with a Japanese billionaire who wanted to take eight artists into space with him, and she won the competition.
Wow!
And she could go up next year. So one way or another, this time next year we'll be talking about. We'll know the name of the first Irish astronaut.
Could be yourself, David. They should get you up there. You know.
Yeah, I did apply as a writer, trying to pretend I'm an artist. for the Japanese billionaire project. And in fact, that year there were three opportunities to go in.
Oh,
space.
Wow.
I applied to them all, but so did millions of others.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, you know, so is it you've had this interest as a very small child? It's always kind of fascinated you, and it's kind of just led down this path.
Yeah, I mean, it started for me when I was a kid. I was interested in chemistry. I wanted to blow things up. I was fascinated by explosives. And a friend of mine had a chemistry set. You realize explosions are really very rapid chemical.
Yeah. There's
all kinds of interesting things you can do in chemistry. I was going to get one for Christmas. So we went home one lunchtime to have a look at this chemistry set. And in the corner of the room was a telescope. Now, back then, they were very expensive.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they're about 10 times cheaper now in real terms.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Chinese mass producing them.
Mm.
And they make them in very good quality. Most telescopes, most things are made in China these days. And it dropped the price in very real terms. So a pair of binoculars today, you can get them for 20 or 30 quid. A really good pair.
Yeah, yeah.
And a telescope, you can buy a good one for less than 100 euros. and they go all the way up to thousands from computer control ones and super compact ones that we'll be bringing to Starbecue this weekend. But it was a fascination of seeing, I think, human vision being such an important step. What can you see through that telescope? He told me the planet Jupiter. Oh, can I come back tonight and we'll have a look at it? No, he said, it's gone. Where has it gone? He says, have a look at this chemistry set, which we eventually did, and I remember getting one for Christmas, so yeah, I must have kept the interest up for a while. But astronomy took over, thanks to a book in the library, that showed me just how big the universe was and how they weren't teaching us this in school. And I thought, well, I'm learning all these other subjects.
Yeah.
This is millions of times bigger than anything we're studying in school. Surely it's important. And I still say that today. We should be teaching more astronomy in our schools. It's a great gateway subject to the sciences that can excite people.
No, I don't understand why it isn't taught more in schools, you know, more about our environment than kids are taught at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we've been interested in campaigning for this, and it's one of the things we'd like to do more of. When I went to university, there were no degree courses in astronomy.
Wow.
You have to get your science degree and maybe do a PhD with an astrophysics angle to it. Now, the university, nearly all of them, do an astronomy course. It's great to see. There have been optional units on the not the Leaving Cert. I don't think Leaving Cert's ever had one.
Yeah.
But on the junior cert, and you know, one day it'll all be coordinated together. And I think it's very important because you know the companies we have in Ireland, the big internet companies, pharmaceuticals, that produce recently vast amounts of corporate profits and therefore tax, but also just all the income tax that comes from the hundreds of thousands of people that work in those companies. They're very well-paid jobs, so they actually give a huge kickback to the Irish Exchequer. And when I was at college, the country was broke and poor, and everybody emigrated. Now people are coming to Ireland. Technology people are coming to Ireland because it's the place to be. We've seen a dramatic turnaround in the decades, and anything that gets these young people interested in science is fantastic, because they then go on to be the future employees. And if we're shipping them in from abroad, we obviously need to do training more here in Ireland.
Yeah.
That's been one of the big backroom motives behind Astronomy Ireland. Yes, we're an astronomy club. Yeah, we like looking at the sky. But we're also aware that we have a bit of a social responsibility to encourage young people to go on to contribute, as well as having a fantastic career.
Yeah. No, but you want to keep up with the rest of the world as well, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And if Ireland...
Yeah. I mean, Ireland's member of the European Space Agency, to their credit, the government increased our spending on the European Space Agency. We think space is the future. Not astronomers, but the financial experts in the world have said the world's first trillionaire, we haven't had a trillionaire yet, is expected to be a space entrepreneur. Elon Musk's company, he went bust in the early part of this century when he founded it. It's just launched 62 missions, I think it is, this year alone, into space. And he has a contract to land people on the moon for NASA. NASA has given them contracts to go up to the International Space Station.
Yeah.
There was a mission just over the weekend. Some of the seven astronauts on the ISS, which, by the way, you can see in evening skies next week, they're taken up by his company's spacecraft. Dragon spacecraft.
Yeah.
But Jeff Bezos is doing the same. They're getting contracts from NASA as well. And there's lots of other companies. I mean, they're the two headlines that get most publicity. But there are big corporations that build craft. And even here in Ireland, there's last count, I think it was 3,000 jobs that are supported by our members of the European Space Agency. And that's a growth sector.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure it's going to be, be doubling in size. You know, sooner than...
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to put these million people on Mars, like the end
of the century,
we'll have to have tens of millions in space and hundreds of millions of people on the ground building all this equipment. So it is a huge industry.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Thank you so much for talking to me today, David. Good luck with Starbecue this weekend. It's going to be incredible. Hopefully, we're going to try and get you a few more people that might not have heard
about
it.
Yeah.
But it sounds incredible.
Everyone is welcome. And, you know, we'll do all the heavy lifting. We want to experience the universe for the first time. Join Astronomy Ireland as well. At least follow us on social media. You'll get all the links on our website, which is astronomy.ie. That's all you have to remember.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get myself down there this weekend. It sounds absolutely incredible. Thanks again, David. Talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Cheers, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.